Coming up next, three signs you might be the office suck up, and then Starbucks continues to fight against unions. Colleges are teaching classes for TikTokers, and you know I'm going to coach you up. Let's go. Welcome to the Ken Coleman Show, where we help you win at work and in life. I want to help you make more money, and I want to help you have more professional impact. If that sounds exciting, you're in the right place. Let's go. Three signs you might be a suck up. Now, why is this important? Well, obviously across the country, people are headed back to the office. A lot more people back in the office, and that means a lot more opportunity for the suck up to suck the life out of the organization. That is a intended pun. The Washington Post even wrote a recent article about it. I quote, "The pandemic made it harder to orchestrate all those spontaneous run-ins, cozy hallway chats, and bonding with the boss in the restroom or during a quick smoke." But for millions of employees, 2022 means the return of the commute, the cubicle, and the suck-up. Tessa West, an associate professor of psychology at NYU, says that suck-ups find similarities with people in power and harness those things to use for their advantage. Now, if you are a product of any type of school outside of homeschooling, you have had a run-in or two with the suck-up. And there's a good chance that maybe at some point you were the suck-up. Oh, that's right. Come on. Come on, let's be honest. At one point or another in our academic or professional life, we've done some suck it up, right? It's just who we are as humans. We want to get that edge, right? This whole show is about giving you the competitive edge to win and work in life. And so we will use that edge sometimes and suck up. But sucking up while giving you some edges at times will eventually catch up to you and it will ruin your personal brand. So here we go. Are you the office suck up? I'm going to give you three signs, because if you don't identify this person with these signs, there's a good chance it's you, and you don't need to suck up. You don't want to be the suck up. It'll kill your brand. And so whatever progress you make as a result of being that brown noser, it will eventually stop your progress completely. Here are the three signs. Number one, you are the shadow. You know what I'm talking about? This person actually is like the human shadow of the boss. Everywhere the boss is, you see this person shadowing, looking for an opportunity to kiss the you-know-what. You spend too much time hovering around the boss. The boss is practically tripping over you. You get noticed, but you get noticed because you're always in the backdrop of the boss. So the person I think of the most in this from television to pop culture is Dwight Schrute from The Office. You know, it's like Michael's in a meeting. He's always on camera because of the whole concept of the show is the documentary. And Dwight's always standing behind Michael Scott, just always hovering. He is, in effect, a shadow. And that is Dwight. What was Dwight doing? Always looking for an opportunity to get ahead of Jim. All right? And so there's nothing wrong with being competitive. There's nothing wrong. In fact, I'm here to help you compete and win professionally. So competition is not wrong. But if you don't compete the right way, you lose. And being a shadow, this is a form of the suck up. These are three archetypes of suck ups. Number one is the shadow. Number two, how about the amener? The amener, right? Now, I'm a Baptist preacher's kid, so I'm pulling an old, you know, the amener. You know what I'm talking about? You go to church, there's always like two or three people in my dad's church. And no matter what my dad said, amen, you know, just got to show your support. Got to show your support. Now, again, remember I said that competing's good, but competing the wrong way will kill you. This is one where everybody turns on you, except the boss for a while. Because the boss, they love the amens. Oh, I said something good in the meeting. She responded very well. He responded very well. Well, everybody else is going, would you shut up? Enough already. The guy said it was a good day, and you're going, amen. right? But what's that look like in a meeting? Oh, that's a brilliant idea. That's a great idea. Great idea. Great idea. The boss just gets done with a sentence. I mean, the audible period has just been placed and you're going, that's a great idea. That's a great idea. It's like, shut up. Everybody else is going, would you shut up, you brown noser? It's true. Got to be careful. Enthusiasm's good. Too much enthusiasm, bad. The amener. Because here's what happens. If people believe that you are insincere with your amens all the time, with your leader, they start to believe you're insincere in interactions with you. And the over-exuberant amener to the boss, the brown-nosing, the suck-up, it kills your credibility. People don't believe you. Not good. And then number three, and I save this one for last, because in my personal opinion, of the three archetypes of suck-ups, this one is the absolute worst. Here it is, the tattler, the tattletale. Everybody hates the tattletale, right? This is the most disgusting, scummy, awful, slimy version of the suck-up. The tattletale, right? Everybody's hall monitor. You are trying to elevate yourself by tearing others down. This goes back to childhood. It is the worst of who we are as adults because it goes back to the time in our life where we are our most immature, the tattler, right? You don't have any power, but you take power by harming others. You step on the necks of everybody else by being the tattletale. And all of these archetypes, the shadow, the amener, and the tattler, all of these are sucking up at its worst, and it begins to create a completely different personal brand. And as I said earlier, in your desire to get ahead, you are cutting corners, you are hurting your character, and you are hurting others. You are effectively toxic. Oh, that's the buzzword in today's corporate world. If you don't want to be toxic, start by making sure that you are never a suck up. Now, let me free some of you. I said earlier on, we've all done this before. So we're human, and so none of us are immune to ever sucking up. But the fact of the matter is, you don't want that to become your personal brand, that you're always sucking up to get ahead. So then the solution is the awareness that we just talked about. Be aware. Are you perceived that way? Are you doing some of these activities? And then the solution is to say, hey, I don't need to suck up to get ahead. All I need to do is be excellent. I'm going to focus on being excellent. I'm going to focus on adding value outside of the excellence to others, helping everybody else win. When we win, I win, right? And why is this important? Stop trying to impress. Focus on your contribution, and that will take care of your impression. See, you're doing all the sucking up so that you can have a better impression. How about making a better contribution, and the impression that you desire will take care of itself? I promise. All right, coming up next, Starbucks takes on the unions, colleges training TikTokers? What? We'll cover that and get to your coaching. Don't move. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. Thrilled to have you. We are giving you the competitive edge to win at work, more money and more professional impact. That's what we do here. Welcome aboard. We'll get to your coaching calls in a little bit. Speaking of helping you get the competitive edge to win, every Thursday night in May, we're hosting a free crash course. Me, Ramsey Solutions. To help you win in some career areas. On Thursday, May 12th, we're hosting the Marketing Crash Course. Digital marketing is a tremendous career field with all kinds of offshoots and opportunities for growth professionally. This course might be for you if you've been thinking about a career in marketing. I'll be joined by Ramsey Solutions Senior Digital Marketing Officer, Andy High, who's brilliant. and he leads all of our marketers here at Ramsey. If you'd like to jump in on this, did I mention that it's free? All you got to do is sign up at RamseySolutions.com/crashcourses. That's RamseySolutions.com/crashcourses. It's going to be really, really fun. Do hope you take advantage of that. And if you think somebody you know would benefit from it or be interested in it, please forward them the link. RamseySolutions.com/crashcourses. All right, I'm a man of the people, which means I am informed so that I can inform you. Let's go. It's time for In the News. Headline out of CNN Business, Starbucks will raise wages again, but not for unionized workers. I love me some Starbucks. And I love Starbucks even more, specifically CEO Howard Schultz, who has returned after he didn't launch the business, but he helped grow it to the heights that we know it now. Took some time off. Now he's back. One big reason, because a lot of Starbucks stores, more details on this in moments, are unionizing. And so he's coming back in part to handle this thing. And a very, very vocal, confident, and on record on this show about what I think about unions. Unions, the core philosophy around the union, when unions became a thing, you go back and do your own history. I won't take too much time on this, but go do your own history. And when they came about, it was taking on a real problem. But now, as with anything, when politics get involved, politics ruins everything. It ruins unions. It ruins companies. It ruins Thanksgiving dinner. You know, everybody's having a blast at Thanksgiving until Uncle Larry launches off into a political tirade, okay? Politics ruins everything. Politics got involved in unions, and now they don't actually give a ladder of growth to people. So I'm not going to get into that. If you want to look for that show, we talked about that not too very long ago. Okay, so here's what he says. So Howard Schultz is coming back, and he says, look, we raised wages back in October, and we're going to honor those commitments to employees, even if they voted to unionize. So the wages that Starbucks raised in October will go to those employees who unionize. But he said, future wage hikes are coming. And if you're in the union, you aren't eligible. He said, workers at our company-operated stores will receive these wages and benefit enhancements because we, as Starbucks, can control their pay. But when you get unions involved, they control everything. And so it's always this big negotiation. Again, politics, not benefits. The company plans to invest $200 million in wages, equipment, and training, among other benefits, on top of previously announced commitments. And overall, Starbucks is planning to spend about $1 billion this fiscal year on employees and improving customer experience in stores. This is good. This is very good. This is leadership. Understanding our people are our greatest resource. So they're doing it. And you got some employees, snowflakes generally, who've been manipulated, and they're more concerned about expressing their feelings than growing. So they've decided to do this union thing. And he's looking at him. He's going, all right, let's dance. If you're a part of a union, you're not getting any increased wages or benefits. I love it. That's leadership. The first company-operated Starbucks store, if you've not heard this, voted to unionize in December. Since then, about 46 stores have voted to unionize, with five voting against it. Overall, 237 company-owned stores have filed petitions with the National Labor Relations Board so far. Now, that's only a small portion. It sounds like a lot. It's not. It's only 8,800. That is a small portion of the 8,800 stores. Okay, so you hear 230 stores, it sounds like 237. So, oh my gosh. No. And let me tell you something. Good on the five stores that voted against it. Because what you actually voted for was your freedom, and what you voted for was your advancement. By the way, you know what cracks me up? Because I said I think unions aren't good for people, the people who don't like that will immediately shut out everything I just said and miss that I just said. When you vote against unions, you are voting for your freedom and your own advancement. They'll miss that whole sentence. So I said it again, just for snowflakes that get offended. All right, next story. This is fascinating. From Bloomberg. Colleges are launching TikTok classes for influencers making $5,000 a post. The new generation of social media stars is younger than ever, and they're turning their success into lucrative careers even before they graduate. So, folks, this is about to start to drip with irony. Let's see if you can catch it. Raking in thousands of dollars a month, universities are taking note and launching classes to help students cultivate their online brands. Now, that's different. If you as a college want to teach people about online presence and brands and some things like that, some basic guardrails, that to me, not a bad idea. It's probably a semester class only. One semester, that's it. General information. But that's not what colleges are doing and considering. What's their goal? To offer courses that will help colleges stay relevant. Oh, there it is. Buried in the third paragraph. This smacks of desperation, folks. When colleges are offering TikTok classes, this is desperate. You know why? Because the minute that a college offers the TikTok course, I can tell you it's already irrelevant. And if the colleges aren't hiring the actual teenage TikTokers to teach the class, then it's even more irrelevant. That's all I need is some TikTok professor. Please. If I want to learn how to be a TikToker, and I don't, but if I did, I would be finding some 16, 17-year-old TikToker, and I would pay them like I would a high-priced consultant just to tell me what to do. I wouldn't even need to take a class. Why are colleges doing this? Because they see that the goalposts have moved, and they're freaking out. Colleges are freaking out, folks. They're going, we got to offer social media influencer classes because a lot of kids out there are making millions of dollars before they graduate high school. Anybody picking this up? You're trying to attract people to do something that they don't actually need a diploma for. Listen to this. Further in the article, whether a college degree is truly needed for a content creator is in question, especially considering all-time high rates for tuition. Duh! Are you kidding me? Meanwhile, income from custom posts on TikTok can range from $2,500 to $20,000, depending on the account's followers and engagement. According to Bullish Studios, a talent agency for influencers. Hey, maybe we should have Bullish Studios teach the class themselves. And oh, they probably are. Data from research firm Statista shows the global influencer economy has more than doubled, listen to this folks, since 2019 and was worth a record $13.8 billion in 2021. So colleges are going to take some professor who knows a little bit about technology and they studied all these influencers to create a course. Are you kidding me? You want signs that colleges and universities are in full-on freakout mode? This is it. TikTok class. You know what I want to do? I want to get a TikToker on the show live and have them go over the syllabus for this class and just rip it to shreds. It's pathetic. Going to coach you up next. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, helping you win in your work and in your life. Hey, the job search can be really frustrating. A lot of hours, lonely hours, a lot of rejection, a lot of ghosting, which is kind of worse, right? You'd rather hear a no than nothing. And ZipRecruiter understands that. That's why ZipRecruiter does so much of the work for you. They save you time by sending you jobs that you can apply to with one click, by the way, that match up with your profile and what you're looking for and who you uniquely are. They pitch your profile to employers while you're doing your life, and you're going to stand out from the competition because they're pitching you. Companies are paying ZipRecruiter for access to talent. That's you. That is a summary of why you should be, if you're looking or thinking about looking in the future, you should be signing up with ZipRecruiter. It's free to you. Sign up for free at ZipRecruiter.com. That is free. ZipRecruiter.com, ZipRecruiter.com. All right, let's go to Dallas, Texas, where Marie joins us. Marie, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. Thanks so much for taking my call.
You bet. What's up?
So I'm in a really lucky but kind of hard situation where I don't know when my dream job has potentially become a nightmare, especially when it comes to stress and compensation.
I feel like I hear it in your voice now. Like you're in a nightmare situation now is what it feels like.
Well, my situation right now, I think I'm just stressed because I've never been on a radio show before.
Oh, great. Hey, you know what? That will also make you a little shaky too, but I'm going to take good care of you, I promise, okay?
I appreciate it.
All right, so why what is behind this question? There's another question behind that question.
So right now I'm freelancing, and it was really hard to make it work, but I'm a freelance writer, and I've been doing really well at that. I probably make about like 20 to 30 an hour. I work with various clients, so it's not like there's a stable amount. Oh, and I'm 25.
Okay, great.
So... But I was just recently offered what, when I was in college, I thought of as my like dream job.
Which was?
But it only made, it's called an extension educator. I always kind of summarized it as like a field teacher. Your job is to teach like agriculture and life skills to kids.
Okay. Interesting.
And okay. It's really cool. It definitely is like a mission that's important to me. I'm not all that clear on like my talents and passion and mission, but it's something that I know is important to me. I actually did an internship with a similar position, or it was the same position, but in a different county.
Did you enjoy it?
I did. I loved it.
Problem. Oh, hold on. See, you're already trying to talk yourself out of it. What did you love about it? That internship?
I loved, like, I got to do something different every single day.
Okay. What else?
I felt like I was making a difference.
You were?
Like, I was impacting lives. I was talking with kids. I was helping them learn practical skills.
Yeah.
Like, I taught kids how to cook. I actually taught some kids how to make a resume. And one of the big things we did was, like, interview skills. Which I feel like I'm kind of failing at this very moment, but
no, you're doing great. So, and that, do you see how being an instructor or teacher, field teacher is the actual title, but it's the work of instruction. Do you see how you have a passion for that?
Yes. And I've kind of worked it into what I do now with freelancing. I actually run a group of girls that are, you know, in various points in freelancing, and I've helped mentor quite a few people.
What do you love most about instruction? No matter what you're teaching, what do you love most about the act, the work of instruction?
I'm really not sure. Maybe like...
No, you're sure. Just break it down. I'm pushing you to go deeper. What do you love about instruction?
I really like learning things. Mm-hmm. So when I teach them to other people, like I feel like I'm kind of... I don't know, spreading the love.
Yes, you are. See, that right there is the heart of a true teacher. Because teachers aren't just about instruction. They are about education themselves. They love learning. And then they love to learn for the opportunity to pass that on. That's the true heart of a teacher. It's not just instruction. It is learning knowledge, learning communication styles with a student, and how that student best grabs what it is that they are there to give. See, that is beautiful. So I interrupt you a moment ago because you went into the but. So what's the challenge today? You know that you love instructing. You know you love instructing in the field where you've got something new every day and you've got some variety to the instruction. It also makes you have to learn and stay on your toes. So we know all that. That's beautiful. What's the holdup? Why aren't you doing it? Why aren't you pursuing it?
So the holdup is it's only about $17 an hour, about up to 30 hours paid per week, but I'd really be working closer to like 40 or 50. I know this because the gal that works there now, that's like in the exact same position, you know, has told me that that's
Where does that lead to? Where does that lead to? What is up the ladder from that position?
That's the other problem, is there's not even a ladder. There's one other rung. Maybe you could go up to the state level.
Okay. And let me ask you this. How rigid are those 40 to 50 hours? Is that a written expectation, or is it just kind of the function of what that person's experience is? It's a very specific question.
Well, it's from my internship. I also know that that's accurate, because my internship, I was locked in at 40 hours, but I worked closer to 50 or 60 each week.
But what created that? What created the extra 20 hours?
There's like a lot of events that aren't really paid to go to, but are expected to go to. It's not exactly an optional thing. It's kind of an unspoken rule.
Okay. So here's what I'm going to challenge you on. I think it's important to say, okay, here are the pros, here are the cons. But with you being a freelance writer, and from what I heard, I feel like you enjoy freelance writing. Yes.
Yeah. I love writing was probably one of the things that is in my talents, like the communication.
Okay.
Talent.
So here's the deal. My first cousin, he's like a brother. He's a professional freelance writer, makes over six figures. And yes, he puts in a lot of hours, but you know, he has a lot of freedom too. And he decides what he's going to take and what he doesn't. So if you're a successful freelance writer, and you are, and you want to go do this for a season, we don't commit to it for the rest of our life, but I think you do both. And I think you fight the norm that it's a 60-hour week. I don't buy that. There might be a week or two that's really crazy. But if, in fact, it is required, I just want you to dig a little bit more into that, what expectations are versus realities, and could you put some boundaries up? I'm just challenging you to challenge the process, right? Because even if you did it for a year or two and you scratched that itch, you didn't give up the creative writing, or the freelance writing, and you're going to take that $17 an hour, and that's all gravy for you. And so you don't sleep. You're 25. Are you married? You got kids?
Yeah, I'm married. No kids.
No, that's a factor.
And baby steps 4, 5, and 6, too.
Okay, well, that's a factor. Debt-free. So you are debt-free, way to go, which means you don't need to make the money. And oh, by the way, if we paused on the writing for a while and we did the field teacher for a while, we tried that, we did it for a while, then we went back to the writing. You're not going to lose your writing skill. I just don't think this is an all or nothing. I think it's a form of both and, or I'm going to try this for a season and then I can always go back. Does that make sense? I don't think it's this hard choice that I think has been kind of a roadblock for you mentally.
Mm-hmm. That makes total sense.
I think you just choose. Follow your heart. I was in this old... Here's what I'm going to leave you with, Marie. I was in this mountain community with my wife in Asheville, North Carolina. Beautiful little place. And I was in one of those little arts and craft stores that my wife loves to go to and I hate. And so I was being the dutiful husband. I'm walking around. I see this little sign on a shelf and it said, "Ladies, you can do it all, just not at the same time." And I showed it to my wife and she was like, "Oh man, that's amazing." And I thought, well, I thought it was pretty amazing too. I don't think it's just for ladies. I think it's for dudes. I think you're in a season right now where you think you can do it all, or you'd like to do it all, and that's clouding your decision-making, when the reality is you can do it all, but you can't do it all at the same time. So pick the next thing you want to do and go do that and live to your fullest. You got me?
Yes, sir.
You rock, Marie. Appreciate you so much. You're going to do so much to impact people. Take that opportunity. Squeeze everything out of it and then keep moving. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to the Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following at Ken Coleman.
If you enjoy this podcast, you should check out other great podcasts from the Ramsey Network, like the Dr. John Deloney Show.
Mental health challenges and hurting relationships happen to everyone, but they don't have to define you. I'm Dr. John Deloney, and I help people navigate through the messy things in their lives on the Dr. John Deloney Show. I'll walk alongside you as you face parenting, marriage, and other relationship challenges. And I'll walk alongside you as you try to connect with people, as you face depression, overcome anxiety, and learn how to change your life. Listen, I want you to be well. Listen to the Dr. John Deloney Show wherever you listen to podcasts.